Yesterday, we started hearing the story of the Shepherd family, who found themselves trapped in Exira on July 2nd of 1958 when that horrible flood that ended up killing 19 people swept through the area. They were just innocent bystanders in a way. They were traveling back from a family trip from Kansas City back to their home in Minnesota and happened upon Exira at about the worst time possible in the middle of that storm. Through the help of some locals, they were able to seek shelter and find a way to survive that horrible overnight, which caused so much pain in Exira back in 1958. Today we'll continue with part two of our discussion with Ken, Keith, and Steve Shepherd, who with their mother and father waited out the night as part of the Lucky 13, and also their sister Donette, who wasn't even born at that time, and if circumstances had been different, maybe never would have existed. We'll talk a little bit about their experiences here as we continue now this morning with part two. A lot of heroes in Exira during the course of this process,
heroes, yes.
Over and over and over again, almost hourly, it seems like, through the course of the night, because I don't want to gloss over this, that had to be the worst part was the entire, all those hours overnight. This wasn't some immediate accident that happened and you move on and take care of things. This was something you had to endure over hours and hours in the dark.
In the dark. It was totally, you knew nothing until the lightning came and... And, you know, when we got on the truck, the water was probably up to above my parents' knees. And I would imagine the truck was at 8 to 10 feet high, and the water rose above that. When we saw where it was on the hillside today, it was probably all of that. Even after when we got rescued the next morning, they say the water was still 5 feet deep around the truck when the boat came in. And haul us to safety.
And again, overnight, in the dark, the only time you really saw anything was when the lightning struck. And you heard
things.
And
it was bright lightning. It was lightning like I've never seen in my life otherwise.
And you weren't the only folks out there. You were telling me that there were so many people in trees trying to escape the water, and you would hear them overnight.
Yes. There's people screaming for their lives, help me, help me, as loud as they could, hundreds of times that night. And I think the area we were in was, 19 people lost their lives, and I think there was at least 10 or 11 in the right there in the west part of Exira.
Sure. You, over the course of all this time, you mentioned earlier, it's a flood. There are things in the water floating all over the place. That includes animals, I suppose, both dead and alive.
Yes.
Fighting for their lives just like the people were. You've got all kinds of debris and different things. There are all kinds of dangers out there.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened when it was totally dark, but there was the guys were communicating with each other on the truck, pushing stuff away. When the sun started rising and you could start seeing this stuff, and then we could really visualize what we had been going through.
Absolutely. Can you talk about the rescue?
Yeah. So, I didn't really know the full story on this, but one of the taller guys, they were measuring as the water came up by the buttons on his shirt. And he was like 6'2", and the water came up near his neck. Then I think it was around 4 o'clock, if I hear the hours right, the water started to recede slowly, and... I guess it was probably between 7 and 8 that we had heard boat motors around, and finally one came near us. And what I remember, it was a wood cedar boat, a smaller runabout type deal. And it went by and came back, and then it tried to get up safely alongside the metal truck without causing any damage to the truck or to the boat. And it took a few times before it actually got there. And then only three of us at a time could get in the boat because there was two or three people rescuing in the boat. Plus, it wasn't a huge boat. And then they took us, it seemed like across the lake, but it was just all this flood to one of the roads that probably went north to Atlantic, because that's where they ended up taking us, and we spent a few days there with the Red Cross and other sources organizing what to do with our car, which was totally destroyed in the flood, and getting us clothing, food, and safe route home. We ended up going home on a Greyhound.
Yeah, you found out a lot about the kindness and generosity of a lot of folks in the Exira, Atlantic, this entire area.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't just a small area where we were involved in. You know, it was, I can't remember, but a huge area that was flooded, and so it affected a lot of people.
Yeah, and a lot of people.
Huge numbers.
Yeah, and a lot of people came to the rescue as well to help out during those times, too. Some of those first people you met, folks at the filling station, folks at the fire department who were still there. And, you know, that's the thing, too. I heard you telling the story, or one of you told the story the other day about how if the evacuation had gone as planned, you would never have run into anybody probably that would have helped you.
There would have been nobody around to help us,
And likely you'd have probably just driven right into it, and we don't know how that would have turned out.
Yeah, so we see God is a big part of this, just having things in the right place at the right time.
What did you think about the feedback that you had? I know the other day you had a chance to sit down with some folks up in Exira at the library. Many of those folks were also, they had their own experiences through that time. What struck you about their interest and willingness to share?
Ooh. It's just amazing, number one, how clear it still is in their minds, too. Even though most people don't talk about it very, very often, it is still very clear to those that went through it.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure. I'm making Ken the spokesman here, but Keith, Steve, chime in. What was going through your minds about how these folks reacted?
Well, we met a lot of people, and you know, just like he said, we were in the library. We went to the
museum,
the beauty shop, museum. And Connie was a great lady to meet, and the stories were what we thought they'd be. You know, I mean, it was just unbelievable. A small town is close. Member, and they're very sincere what they did today, and we thank them very well.
I want to bring Donette in here real quick, too. You weren't even a part of this. You weren't even born yet, but have you, and you didn't even know about this till a few years back.
Correct, yes. I was actually going through my mother's scrapbook and found the newspaper articles, and at that point started asking some questions, and I'm lucky enough to be here with my three brothers to experience today. It was amazing to hear the stories and the things that my family went through and others went through. So very, very interesting and unbelievable. I'm very thankful that people were where they were when they were.
Sure. And when we hear these series of events that we talk about, how fortunate it was that they ran into someone, that they made the decision they did at the time to abandon the car and go seek shelter, to be rescued in the first place the next morning when so many others didn't have that opportunity, it's probably gone through your mind a few times that since you weren't born yet, you probably don't even exist had some other decisions been made or some other factors had come up.
That's correct. Yeah.
Was it sobering for you to visit with all these folks?
It was. It was definitely. Definitely. Very, very eye-opening.
So you're finding out your own family history.
Exactly.
From non-family members.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very much so. After it was all concluded, how long was your stay in the Exira area, Ken? Were you folks gone a few
exactly,
days?
I don't know exactly, but I would say 2 or 3 days before we actually... and I believe we stayed at a parsonage next to a church in Atlantic.
And as we said, never really talked much about it over the years, but probably learned more here in this short trip to Exira than you had in a long time.
For sure.
Definitely. Okay, very good. Well, you know, I appreciate all of you folks stopping in to visit with us here, too, and share some of these stories. We've shared the stories of some others over the years who have been involved in that that horrible time. In Exira in July of 1958, and for some it didn't work out so well. Some, as we've documented, did not make it. But for those that did, some just incredible stories. Mrs. Smith going from Exira to Griswold down the river that night. About the length of time that you guys were hanging on for dear life, she was grasping to whatever she could find in the river. Exactly.
Yeah.
To stay alive long enough to be able to be rescued down by Griswold. So, yeah, there's so many stories that have been told and some that some folks just don't feel comfortable opening up quite so much. So we do appreciate you folks sharing some of those stories. Ken, Keith, Steve, Donna, appreciate you stopping by, and best of luck to you folks, and enjoy your Christmas.
Thank you so much, Jim, for your time. Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed today's visit, and yesterday's visit as well, as a two-part visit with the Shepherd family and their experiences during the flood. Now, if you'd like to hear more of the stories and more of the information compiled about the Exira flood of 1958, Marnie Elkhorn Telephone, along with locals in Exira, have put together an opportunity where you can dial in and hear those stories. The telephone number is 712-764-1958. 712-764-1958. This gives you an opportunity to dial in and hear some of the different stories and some of the information compiled about the flood of 1958.